Welcome to The Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes, events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched Astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hi there, and welcome to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the planets this week. What's happening? Well, the headline of the week, the astro headline, is love planet Venus moving into Aries once again. Once again, I will cover later in the show what that actually means. But finally, we're out of the Venus retrograde period, thankfully. And how did it go for you? I haven't done in previous shows, but I will encourage you to email me and let me know. Give me some feedback. Give me some feedback and I can read out your feedback. Even answer some questions on the show. I do get questions here and there, but I encourage you to do that. Give me your feedback. Let me know how the Venus retrograde affected you. And that was March 4th through April 15th when love planet Venus turned retrograde. It is the planet that turns retrograde the least amount of times. So when it does turn retrograde every 18 months, it is a big deal. So we are still in this Venus retrograde cycle, although Venus is not retrograde. It is direct, turned direct April 15th, so just recently. And during a Venus retrograde, typically our relationships, because Venus is the planet of love and retrograde means things moving backwards, so love moves backwards. Let me know if that happened for you. It's a time for breaking up, not making up, if that makes sense. It had also been a time for relationships from the past to re-emerge. So I haven't heard or had any feedback around that, but I'm very curious to know. Also this week, we have a new moon in Taurus on Wednesday. So every 28 days, we have a new moon. It's the start of the lunation cycle, and I will talk about that more later in the show and how that will be affecting your sign. Also, this week, just two minor aspects. So what I typically do in each show, I talk about the big event of the week, which is usually an ingress. And an ingress means when a planet changes sign. I also cover a lunation. And a lunation is part of the moon cycle. And it usually means a new moon or a full moon, and I talk about that and how that affects your sign and what to do about that. So they're the main things that I cover in the show, because there's always something to say. So an ingress, a lunation, or a planet changing direction, which means a planet moving retrograde. So they're typically the three main things. And then the secondary things I discuss in each show are the aspects happening that this current week. So what that means is that the planets, and that means sun, yes, I know the sun is a star and the moon is a satellite, but astrologers do classify them as planets. So sun out through Pluto, anytime there's some aspect to the planets, not counting the moon, I should say, not counting the moon, is what I discuss in the show as well. Now, the reason I don't talk about aspects to the moon or from the moon, aspects from the moon, is because there are so many and they are so fleeting. Because if you think about it like this, the moon changes sign every 2.5 days. And so every 28 days, the moon starts the cycle all over again. So if I'm looking down at my calendar right now, there's, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's about over a dozen moon aspects per week. And it's really the only time that the moon, or not the only time, one of the only times that the moon really is significant is when I'm reading someone's natal chart. So if I'm looking at someone's natal chart, which means the moment, a snapshot of the planets at the moment someone was born, and that's usually the first breath. So that's when the moon is really significant, is in someone's natal chart. But each week I talk about the transits, and that's lunations, ingresses, and anything else that's happening during the week. That's called transit. And the moon is, it's not even secondary, really. The moon aspects come in third place because they're so fleeting and so brief that they could just pass you by and you wouldn't really notice. Whereas if you have an ingress or, say, Mercury changing direction, moving retrograde, which it currently is, then that's when it becomes more significant. Yes, so speaking of which, Mercury is still retrograde, and doesn't it feel like forever? That's what happens with Mercury retrograde, particularly when it's aspecting one of your natal planets, and more so an inner planet. Now, an inner planet typically means Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, anything, sometimes Mars, anything that's in front of the Earth to the Sun. So that's known as an inner planet. Mars sort of fits in there. Then you've got the mid planets, which is Jupiter, Saturn, and then, of course, the outer planets, which are Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. So that's how astrologers classify and divide the planets up. So if ever you hear me make a reference to inner planets, that's usually what I'm referring to. And once again, in a natal reading or with transits, if ever there's a transit that's sitting right on a natal inner planet, you will definitely notice that, particularly if it's an outer planet, a transiting outer planet to a natal inner planet. That's when, let's just say, magic happens. And you can take that any way you want. So back to this week. So on Friday, love planet Venus moves into Aries, where it will be until June 6th. Now, this is a big deal because we've just had this Venus retrograde. We're still in this Venus retrograde cycle, although Venus is currently direct, thankfully. So Venus moves back into Aries on Friday. But when I say back into it, it sounds like it's retrograde. It's not. Venus was in Aries previously, and that's where this Venus retrograde cycle began. So Venus first moved into Aries on February 3rd. So the breakdown of this whole cycle, that is a big deal, particularly if the retrograde, it turned retrograde on any one of your planets, and it retrograded, let me take a step back. Venus moved into Aries on February 3rd. So this was the start of this whole retrograde shenanigan shemozzle that went on. And then Venus turned retrograde on March 4th at 12 degrees Aries. So if you have anything in your chart at 12 degrees, particularly a cardinal sign, and that's Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, then this Venus retrograde really affected you. Now, we can drill down into more detail, whereas, okay, if you've established that this Venus retrograde did in fact form an aspect to one of your planets because it was 12 degrees, then you can drill down further. What sign is your natal Venus in? What house is the transit in Venus in? Your natal Venus in? What other planets are aspected by this retrograde planet and so forth? And so that's really what astrology is all about, and how you read somebody's natal chart, how you can do an interpretation. That's really what it boils down to. And that's just an example of one planet, whereas in a reading, of course, it's all the planets, and that's Sun through Pluto by transit, and then natal. And then if I'm looking at compatibility, then it's how do my planets affect your planets, and your planets affect my planets, and so on and so on. Then there's different types of forecasting. The standard one is a transit, and that's what I talk about in each week's show. We're going to take a short break. After the break, I'm going to tell you all about Venus in Aries, so stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to the Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the planets this week. And the astro headline of the week is Venus in Aries. The other headline is New Moon in Taurus on Wednesday. So just before the break, I was giving you an overview of when I talk about the planets each week, it's called I'm talking about the transits and then how they affect you personally. And of course, astrology is more than just a sun sign. It's all the planets in varying signs at the time you were born, meaning your first breath. And so I get a lot of questions from people who say, I was born prematurely or late or whatever. That makes no difference. It doesn't matter when you were supposed to be born. It's really about when you were born and the moment of your very first breath. And I know that a lot of birth certificates, particularly, you know, back in the day, they didn't record the birth times, which is really such a shame. But there is something in astrology called rectification, and there are astrologers who do specialize in rectification. And what they do is they take a minimum of 10 major events in your life, and then they trace it back to the planetary movements. It's very complicated, but it is doable to actually calculate someone's birth time based off major events in their life. So it is really important for astrologers to have an accurate birth time, and an accurate birth time is within 4 minutes of birth. And I do know that hospitals do round up birth times. Say if someone was born at 9:12 a.m., they'll round it down to 9:10, that sort of thing. So there's all different things. And of course, when I was a student taking my exams in astrology, the time corrections were just the most maddening things of all, because daylight savings, it's only recently that I've actually come to appreciate daylight savings time, because as a budding astrologer, to actually hand calculate someone's natal chart, it was very much about time correction and time zones. And for example, during World War II, they used to have double daylight savings times. So there'd be another hour on top of an extra hour of daylight. So that sort of thing. And then, you know, a long, long time ago, counties used to set their own times. So it wasn't until we actually had the railroad and the train crossing from one side of the country to the other that we had to get aligned with the times. So that's how it all came about. There's a lot more to it, but basically, previously, before software came about, calculating a chart by hand used to be a big headache and a huge room for error, because there's just too many corrections to go on, and the time zone correction was just one of those things. Anyway, back to Venus moving into Aries on Friday. And as I mentioned before the break, it's part of this retrograde cycle that we've had recently. So it all started on February 3rd, and then it was Venus moved into Aries February 3rd. It was moving forward quite nicely. Then it started to slow down, and then March 4th is when Venus turned retrograde. And it's unusual. It's the planet that turns retrograde the least amount of times. It's once every 18 months. And so Venus turned retrograde at 12 degrees Aries. And so then it continued its retrograde motion until it moved into Pisces. It moved backwards into Pisces on April 2nd. And then on April 15th, it turned direct in Pisces at 27 degrees Pisces. And then it moved forward into Pisces from April 15th on. And then on Friday, it will move into Aries until June 6th. So when it gets to 13 degrees Aries, the retrograde cycle, well, I'm being precise, but usually it's give or take a few degrees. But after it moves beyond 12 degrees Aries, and I'm just looking in my calendar to see when that is, so around the 16th of May, the whole retrograde, Venus retrograde cycle will really be behind us. And I'm being precise and exact. You know, it might be fair just to say, oh, from April 15th on, it's all done. But you may have heard that with retrograde planets, there's always a shadow period. So it's always sort of like the taint that's still hanging around after the planet's retrograde. Or, you know, the period before the retrograde, specifically with a Mercury retrograde, usually depending on how it affects your own natal chart, I've felt things probably a week and a half before the actual retrograde period, and that's if the transit is on one of my inner planets or forming some challenging aspect. And a challenging aspect would be a square or an opposition. Sometimes a conjunction, but typically a square or an opposition. the square is 90 degrees, two or more planets 90 degrees apart, and opposition is two or more planets 180 degrees apart or opposite. So there you have it. So this retrograde, Venus retrograde, is a big deal because it doesn't happen as often as the other planets do. And on that note, we are currently in a Mercury retrograde. Yes, the rumours are true. We are currently in a Mercury retrograde period, and that will be done May 3rd. And this Mercury retrograde is, it started off at 5 degrees Taurus, then it kept moving backwards into Aries. So we're currently Mercury retrograde in Aries, and what that typically means is speaking before we think, jumping into something without a second thought, and probably having to go back and redo it. So with this current Mercury retrograde in Aries, it's about rushing into something instead of having patience and waiting. Anyway, back to Venus moving into Aries on Friday. So Venus is a planet of love. It's about affection and romance. It's all about pleasure, bringing people together, being very social, uniting people in harmony. So this planet not only rules love and dating, but friendships and partnerships and any sort of social gathering. It also rules money. It rules finances, how you treat yourself and your friends. Are you spontaneous or do you plan things out, think things through? Are you romantic? Do you like the flowers and chocolates, or are you more frugal? And so where Venus sits in your astrology chart influences how you approach any kind of partnership, and that's not just romantic, but of course business or generally how you are in a group, in a group setting. Are you shy, or are you the leader of the group? Are you comfortable with intimacy, or just a little bit shy about getting too close to people? Maybe do you live for love, or are you just fine with being on your own? So that's the nature of Venus. So also I just mentioned money. Venus is also about money and finances. Are you good with money? Cautious, conservative, only taking calculated, well thought out risks. That would be probably a Venus. Your Venus might be in an earth sign if that's the case. Earth signs are known for being good financial managers typically, and that's Taurus, Virgo and Capricorn. Or maybe you might have Venus in a fire sign, like it's going to be on Friday when it's in Aries, and it's Aries, Leo and Sagittarius. And so anybody that has Venus in a fire sign, let me think about how to say this. like to spend and not give it a second thought. How about that? And Venus rules the signs of Taurus and Libra. So Taurus is one of the signs of money. Of course, it's an earth sign, but it has a reputation as a money sign. Libra is the sign of harmony. So there you have, like, and relationships and marriage. So there you have the two sides of Venus through Taurus. Taurus is about money and Libra is about relationships. So that is how Venus is connected to those two signs. So, of course, Venus is known as the goddess of love, and it's the second closest planet to the sun, and it has an orbit of 225 days. Now, the Earth has an orbit of 365 days and Mercury has an orbit of 88 days. Just to give you an idea of how fast the planets move around the sun. And of course, Venus is never more than 48 degrees from the sun, which means it's never that far away from your sun sign. So whatever sun sign you have, Venus will typically be in the same sign or the sign before or after. Possibility, if you're born, say, at the beginning of Aries, there's a possibility you could have Venus, which 48 degrees away, which would be in Aquarius. So it's let's just say two signs before and two signs after would be the probability. Venus will never be more than two signs before or after your own sun sign. That's because it's only 48 degrees away from the sun. And, of course, that's all from our viewpoint here on Earth. What else about Venus can I tell you? So Venus, as I said, it goes retrograde the least amount of times, and it's only about 7% of the time that it is retrograde, which is not that much. And Venus is both a morning and an evening star, like Mercury is. And it has very highly reflective atmosphere, so you can see it with your naked eye. So Venus retrograde, I keep talking about that, but that's because we're still, even though Venus is not retrograde, we're still in that cycle of Venus and the Venus retrograde period. Thankfully, it's behind us, but depending on where it falls in your own natal chart, you still might be feeling the effects. So it retrogrades, I said, once every 18 months, and it's usually for about 6 weeks at a time. Sometimes it feels like 6 months, depending on how it is affecting you. So when Venus is retrograde and we're in the cycle of, it's no surprise that relationship issues come right to the surface. Anything that you've been pushing down and trying to ignore suddenly pops up when Venus is retrograde. Anything that you might have been tolerating all of a sudden becomes intolerable. So maybe in the relationship, you're saying things you normally wouldn't. Anyway, time for a quick break. After the break, I will continue with this week's planet, so stay tuned.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to the Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the planets this week and Venus moving into Aries on Friday, where it will be until June 6th. So while Venus is in Aries, and of course, as always, depending on how this influence affects your birth chart, and if you haven't had your chart done, go to my website, theastrologer.com/chartwheel. Get your free chart wheel and you can see where your planets are and how the planets each week might be affecting you more specifically. So Venus in Aries. So I have said in previous shows that the planets have their favorite signs and their least favorite signs. Now, everybody gets a fair shot. So everybody, meaning every sign gets a fair shot. So every sign gets matched up to a different planet. The planets usually have one or two favourite signs, then secondary favourite signs, and they also have their least favourite signs and their second least favourite signs. So on that note, Venus doesn't like being coupled up with Aries. It's uncomfortable. It's a mismatch of energies. Venus, as I said, likes Taurus and Libra the best. And Aries is ruled by Mars. So as you can see, you know, women are from Venus and men are from Mars, that type of stuff, because Venus is about love, Mars is about passion. Anytime I do a compatibility reading, I straight away look at their Venus and Mars signs to see how they connect, how they flow, and then, of course, Sun and Moon. But in this case, love planet Venus moving into Aries straight off the bat, it doesn't really like Aries. So the key word until June 6th, when it comes to money, love and money, is patience. Patience. Patience when it comes to love and money. But on the flip side, our love life could be really exciting under this influence, because Aries gets bored fast. So Aries always needs to be moving and always doing stuff. So many of us might find ourselves being bolder than usual, because Aries is the warrior. The courageous warrior. So many of us will take on this characteristic when it comes to our love lives and our financial lives. Some of us might take risks that we would never have done normally, and acting on our ardent impulses. Under this influence, romance can be pretty steamy. Some of us might even be open to things that we've never done before. Just simply because Aries is a cardinal sign, and cardinal signs are initiators and they like to try new things. I call them the trendsetters of the zodiac. The cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra and Capricorn. So we need to watch out and not get carried away by our passions, which sort of sounds strange, because everybody wants to be passionate in different ways. But with Venus in Aries, it's like we don't give it a second thought and we just jump into something, and meaning a new relationship. Luckily, though, Venus is not retrograde anymore. Maybe we met someone when Venus was retrograde a few weeks ago, and maybe the relationship might come about now that Venus is direct. So if you're single, this is an ideal transit for initiating new relationships. Because, as I said, Aries is the brave warrior, the courageous warrior, and so many of us have a lot more confidence to go after what we want with this influence. But, of course, it might change from moment to moment. It's best not to make long-term plans under this influence, because Aries gets bored fast and likes to move from one thing to the next. It's all about the spice of life, let's just say. Variety is the spice of life. It could just be the hunt that thrills us the most with this influence. While, you know, for some of us, the everyday work of a relationship could feel stifling. So if you are coupled, the best use of this energy, Venus in Aries, is to break up familiar routines. Maybe with an infusion of novelty, maybe surprise your sweetie by taking him or her on an unexpected outing, or trying an innovative approach to romance. Instead of the same old, how about something new and exciting? Some of us might even want to assert our independence at this time. So getting in touch with our own needs and desires, separate from our partner. So some of us might be trying to find a balance between dependence and independence. And also with Venus in Aries, clinginess is a definite turn off. So So give yourself some space, give your partner some space, and everybody should be happy. So Venus, as I keep saying, was retrograde recently, and it's all about patience. More so when Venus was retrograde, so it's all about patience. We want to be daring and adventurous anytime, particularly an inner planet is in Aries. Some might call it reckless, and others might even say heedless of the consequences when Venus is in Aries. So that's just a word of caution. And of course, it's not bad. It's just the shadow side of the energy of this transit, let's just say. You know, probably some people might say it's best to take things slowly when it comes to financial planning or, you know, trying to get a new relationship off the ground. But with this energy, it's like it's really hard to do. It's like nobody wants to do anything slowly. It might feel impossible, but it's safer now that Venus is direct and not retrograde. Yay! Also this week, the other headline of the week is the new moon in Taurus. And so this is annual. This happens once a year. And the new moon is at 6 degrees Taurus. So if you have anything on or around 6 degrees in a fixed sign, this new moon will be affecting you. And a fixed sign is Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. But if you have anything at 6 degrees in an earth sign, and that's Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, this is a wonderful influence for starting something new. And as I said at the beginning of the show, the earth signs are really good with money. They're the money managers of the zodiac, and Taurus in particular. So this new moon on Wednesday, let me see what time it's happening, 5:16 a.m. Pacific time, which is 8:16 a.m. Eastern time, this new moon is all about money and long-term financial planning. And the reason I'm saying long-term is because it's Taurus. The reason I'm saying money is because it's Taurus. So money long-term is all about Taurus. Taurus is also a very sensual sign, so it's time to engage all the senses. And the funny thing is I was just doing some gardening yesterday, and I had this urge to suddenly pull all the weeds out. And, of course, that's in the domain of the Taurus energy of this new moon on Wednesday. So new moons are typically all about beginnings, but before you can have a beginning, you need to have an ending. So anything that's outstanding or hanging around to do with finances, anything that's incomplete around finances, this is the time to wrap it up. So get cracking on that, because if you're looking for a new financial beginning, that's not going to happen until you complete the old financial endings. So it's really important to tidy things up, finish things up, particularly with any sort of fixed energy, which is Taurus, because fixed signs like to keep going and going. They're not initiators, but they like to see things through to the end. So this new moon in Taurus is all about hard work, and it's hard work, but it's also finding that balance. It's having a balance between hard work and having some fun, and, you know, really looking at the hard-earned cash from the hard work that you've put in. It's about financial security. It's about anything that's tactile. Anything that you can put away for a rainy day. That's actually a really good saying for this Taurus new moon. You might even be thinking about taking a second job or making some investments. Now is the time to do that. Of course, yes, the disclaimer is Mercury is retrograde. I don't even know why I'm smiling about that. But Mercury is retrograde. So I think now so many people have a fear around Mercury retrograde. But really, the best use of any time a planet is retrograde is to redo something or to relook at something or to do something that's come up from the past. So if you're thinking about making the most of this Taurus new moon around your financial affairs, just keep in mind that Mercury is retrograde, and it may be the best use of this energy of the retrograde and the new moon is to look at something that you've done previously, something in the past that might have worked or you didn't quite finish or it's still open-ended, anything to do with finances in particular. It's a great time to sort of pick something up again and then run with it, because there's more chance now with this Taurus new moon that it will continue to be long term. Also, because Mercury is retrograde, Taurus new moon, might be a good time to restructure. That's a good word. So anytime Mercury is retrograde, it's doing things that start with RE, so recycle, redo, refurnish, redecorate, another word, restructure. I think I'm going to use that now throughout. Restructure your budget. Brainstorm ways to increase your cash flow so that you can indulge in luxuries in the future, because with this Taurus influence, it's about luxury and self-indulgence. That does sound negative, and it's not meant to sound negative, being self-indulgent, but it's like Taurus likes to spoil themselves and those they love. So Taurus can be very generous, and luxury is part of that, particularly because its ruling planet is Venus. And on that note, we're going to take a short break, so stay tuned.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy damsel coming with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to the Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. Just before the break, I was talking about the Taurus new moon on Wednesday. And we are in the season of Taurus because last Wednesday, the sun moved into Taurus, where it will be until May 20th. So we've got a lot of Taurus energy going on at the moment. Mercury turned retrograde in Taurus, although it's now currently retrograde in Aries, but the cycle did begin with Taurus. So the energy of Taurus, Mars was in Taurus, but it just moved into Gemini last Friday. But, you know, it's all about Taurus, particularly this week. Let's just say this week is dedicated to Taurus. Last week's show I did dedicate to Taurus, and if you missed that, be sure to go back to the Om Times archive and have a listen to that, because it was a show for Taurus. Taurus is ruled by Venus. I've been talking a lot about Venus in tonight's show because it's about to move into Aries through June 6th. After June 6th, it will be moving through Taurus. So one thing about Taurus as well is that Taurus likes to not every Taurus, just generally. They're known to enjoy their food, delicious meals, because it's all about the senses, indulging the senses. So delicious foods, Venus rules sugar, some bulls have a sweet tooth, so they're known to eat rich, delicious foods. And my key word for Taurus is cuddly. And maybe I said that last week, but anytime I think of a key, someone says, oh, what's a key word for Taurus? I'll automatically say, oh, cuddly. it makes sense, though. So also with this energy of the new moon, sun in Taurus, we're all very charming. We're looking for pleasure in life. It's okay to be a little bit lazy from time to time because as long as there's a balance, it's all about balance, of course, but, you know, the hard work, but also enjoying time or making time for relaxation, there's nothing wrong with that. And also spoiling ourselves. If we have the funds to do it, then there's why not do it? But let's not max out our credit cards doing it. That's the only thing here. So we are in the season of Taurus. So new moon on Wednesday in Taurus, how does that affect your sign? Well, let's take a look. So if you're an Aries, it is more so about spending and saving money. New moon in Taurus is all about new financial affairs, but particularly if you're an Aries. If you're a Taurus, it's all about your appearance and your individuality. If you're a Gemini, pay attention to your subconscious and your intuition. If you're a Cancer, it's about friends and acquaintances, groups, online and offline. If you're a Leo, the highlight for you will be on career, maybe a new direction in your career. If you're a Virgo, it's about overseas travel, any sort of legality, higher education, publishing. If you're a Libra, it's about money as well for you, but larger money or shared money or resources. If you're a Scorpio, the highlight for you with this new moon is a new relationship, or if you're married, something changes or shifts within the marriage. If you're a Sagittarius, this is a great time to focus on health, diet and fitness or your daily routines, employees, pets and generally being of service. If you're a Capricorn, lucky you, romance, courtship, entertainment, amusements, taking a risk. If you're an Aquarian, the focus for you with this Taurus new moon is about home and family. And if you're a Pisces, it's about the intellect, short trips, siblings, neighbours, any sort of communication. As I said earlier on, there are only two other planetary influences this week, and I'm still double-checking. Some weeks it's just like that. Some weeks there's just so much going on, and other weeks it's fairly mellow and quiet. So on Monday, which is today, I'm just looking at the time here. Oh, very early this morning, we had, what is it here? Mercury trine Saturn. So retrograde Mercury in Aries forming a trine to retrograde Saturn in Sagittarius. A trine is always a good thing. It's when two or more planets are 120 degrees apart. Both planets are retrograde though, so it's definitely good for redoing something around the mind. So work flows effortlessly, we're industrious. Many of us will have discipline, attention to detail, and we can get really good results if we're prepared to put the elbow grease in. It's always best to take a methodical approach, which will get us very far. And any sort of administrative work, because we're definitely organised with this transit of Mercury trining Saturn. Precision, efficiency, what else is good for this? focus on detail, I just said. Anything that's like things we normally put aside, it's, we can just flow through things really fast. There's a lot of clarity, although both planets are retrograde, that's always a disclaimer. But really, it's a good flowing transit for the mind. Also, speaking of the mind, on Friday, Mercury conjuncts Uranus. This is great. This is in Aries, so it's great for the fire signs, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. So our minds are strongly stimulated under this brief but intense transit. Everything seems to speed up to a faster pace more than usual. So we're getting brilliant flashes of insight that we can receive under this transit. It's really good for thinking outside of the box and coming up with innovative futuristic ideas. And listen to your intuition. It's really important with this Mercury conjunct Uranus. Anything that's unorthodox or even rebellious concepts, independent thinking is favoured. So it's all about stimulation of the mind. So that's Mercury conjunct Uranus on Friday. Now for your weekly horoscope. So if you're an Aries, be careful not to entangle your financial worth with your self-worth this week. Impulse spending has a root emotional cause because you're trying to reassure yourself that you are worth spending money on. That way, madness lies. Boost your self-esteem and your confidence in other less expensive ways. If you're a Taurus, the new moon in your sign is the perfect fresh yay. Take a good hard look at your life this week and decide what you want to change. What absolutely must be different this time next year? Pick your priorities and work out a master plan. Highly motivated and full of energy, you have what it takes now to shape your own future. It's exhilarating, terrifying maybe, but it really can be exhilarating. What will you choose to do with the rest of your life? If you're a Gemini, the focus this week is on truth and lies. There have been rather too many of the latter and not enough of the former. Your challenge now is to embrace the truth even when it hurts and to tell it to others too, even if they don't want to hear it. Use your charm and social skills to soften the blow, but you must still say what needs to be said. If you're a Cancer, you're daring to dream a little bigger than normal this week, spurred on by the new moon and the excitement of Mercury-Uranus meetup. You're half afraid that you're bitten off more than you can chew, but the other half of you is going for it anyway. It's great to see. This bold and pioneering attitude should bring you some lucky breaks this week, so persevere with it. If you're a Leo, if you want to advance at work, honesty is needed this week. Avoid the temptation to get ahead at someone else's expense or by hiding an inconvenient fact. If you're facing a difficult situation, face it head on in public with grace and dignity. The new moon emboldens you to fight a battle in the spotlight, so don't hesitate to speak out. If you're a Virgo, indecision is your biggest issue this week. Your opinions are flip-flopping and perhaps your faith is wavering too. You feel tested or backed into a corner. The key here is to remember that you only have to live up to your own expectations, nobody else's. Be true to what you feel inside, even if that means going against public opinion or changing your mind about something you've long believed. There's no real right or wrong here, just shades of grey, so pick your shade and stick to it. If you're a Libra, with the new moon, you're tempted this week to shine a light into some very dark corners. In some ways, you're on a crusade for the truth, which is great, so long as you don't expect everyone to welcome it. Many people around you would prefer their secrets to stay firmly buried, so be prepared to make some enemies if you dig too deeply. Your motivation for all this investigation is pure and honest, but that won't stop people from name-calling or spreading gossip about you. Keep on keeping on. What you're doing is important. If you're a Scorpio, a new moon in your romance zone is the perfect opportunity for dating and for finding a new partner if you're either single or unhappy in your current relationship. Beware of any desire to buy someone's affections, though. Woo them with your charm, your intellect, and your sizzling sex appeal, not with your bank account. Others are struggling emotionally this week, but you're actually in a position of strength. Take advantage of this to get ahead of the curve at work. If you're a Sagittarius, if drama erupts around you, center yourself and spend time alone. You have what it takes to cut through a crisis and to emerge as a leader this week, but the new moon advises you to get your thoughts organized before you try to take on this challenge. Bide your time. Figure things out in private before you make your move. There's no great rush. How you handle the situation will be remembered, so make it a memorable week for all the right reasons, not the wrong one. If you're a Capricorn, you're found in your inner rebel. You're not afraid to let him or her loose. If you're an Aquarius, it's all about home this week, taking on a household project. And finally, if you're a Pisces, this is a good time to practice mindfulness. This is the week for it in a busy, hectic schedule. That's it for the astrology show this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Kelly Box, your host and astrologer, and have a great week.